Welcome to the Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts hears the word bye and he gets mad because it means mom's going on a business trip. I miss my dog so much, Dominique. I'm in New York. Dominique is here with me. We are recording this live from South Street Seaport. It is rainy. It is miserable. I just ate a fried chicken sandwich from Fuku, which was delicious.
Man.
I let you have a little bit.
It was delicious. And you also kind of big time me a little bit.
Oh, no.
You did. You big time me a little bit.
How so?
Because
I do this all the time, so
after,
I don't know.
After you raved about how delicious the sandwich was, you texted the owner of the restaurant, right? It was like to tell him how good his sandwich was.
Dave, yeah.
Yeah, Dave, first name basis.
Also, he's a big Washington football fan, yeah. So I was congratulating him on.
I know who Dave Chang is.
To segue to football, Bruce Allen is out.
It appears
that Ron Rivera is in. And honestly, Dominique, you know, thinking about these head coaching hires or flaws or strengths to weaknesses, right now my biggest knock on Ron Rivera is that he wanted apparently to coach the Washington Redskins. Like that makes me question his judgment more than anything. It's a coup for them though because he was a very in-demand coaching hire.
Yeah, he was in demand and that's what I understand your point. I would agree with you more. Like I guess we can set aside the offensive helmets and names, but those things aside, I don't necessarily think that it's a bad job as long as they've moved on from Bruce Allen, right?
Are you familiar with who your boss would
be?
I mean,
at least from what I understand, and like, this isn't reporting, this is just like hearsay, is Dan Snyder is like hands off, at least lately in the last.
What?
I mean, in the last few years, that was.
Since the whole RG3 thing?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I understood, right? Well,
I mean, the caveats there. In the last few years.
It's a normal cycle for newish owners to like want to get involved and then eventually realize that they can't be and move back. So I think he's in that particular cycle. They've gotten, and I assume, because we all agree that Rivera was in demand, I assume that he is going to get some say. If not ultimate say in who the GM. Why would he take the job on the first day unless he had some assurances that Bruce Allen was gone and he gets to make the next decision?
And I think looking at some of the more successful franchises across the NFL, many of the best ones tend to be teams where you've got a GM, not necessarily the coach hired the GM per se, but that they came in around the same time and that they're working in tandem, whether that's a San Francisco or a Buffalo or even, you know, going back to Seattle and how that was built. But that's neither here nor there, which is a phrase I realized I overused recently, because we got a lot of football to talk about, a lot of very exciting football happenings, and I do want to get to all the coaching hires and firings and whatnot at some point, but the playoff field is set, and I'd like to use our time to chat about that. First thing I want to ask you is to rank the games by your most excited to least excited. And I'm going to read...
Okay, yeah.
Should I read the schedule, which is... this is one of my favorite things is trying to predict when the games will be because you can kind of tell from like, you know, the excitement level and also the fan, like how big the fan bases are and this and that. So
we know that, that New England is going to get an evening late game.
Of course.
And we know that the Texans are going to get like a morning.
Oh yeah. Bills Texans had Saturday afternoon written all over it. And it's 4:30 Eastern Saturday. Then you got the Titans and Pats that night. Then, you know, of course, they want to give Bill Belichick more time to prepare for his next the divisional round. Then you get the Vikings. The NFC, I think, is, you know, could have gone either way. But you get the Vikings and the Saints at one. I guess the Eagles are probably the biggest fan base left. And then you get my Seattle Seahawks and the Eagles playing Sunday night.
Well, I feel like you want me to rank them. I'm most excited or most interested in watching.
Yeah, like you personally, Dominique
Foxworth. I personally am looking forward to, and I'm intrigued by the Patriots game.
Me too.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
also really
intriguing to me. In part because I think that they are outmatched, and I think that they will lose, and I think that's going to be interesting happening in Foxborough, seeing the end of this dynasty. But also, I'm interested to see what they do differently. Because they're not going to continue to do the nonsense that hasn't worked offensively. Bill Belichick is going to come out with something, and McDaniels also.
Against the wall.
Yeah, they're going to come out with something new. They might bring a brand new offense. Who knows? They might only have three offensive linemen on the field, or like they're going to do something crazy because they can't just line up and beat anybody. Not on offense, at least.
So you go Titans. I want to talk about. I mean, we did a bit on this show. I can't remember if it was last year, 2 years ago, talking about like a game of Survivor or mm-hmm. like a battle royale to the death and who would win amongst the coaches. And I said it was Belichick because he do something like wild, right? Like he's obviously not the strongest coach. He's really old. He's the oldest, right? No, he's Pete Carroll's oldest. But he would do something like, and I think the situation I came up with on the show was he would team up with Matt Patricia and then at the end use Matt Patricia's pencil to shiv him. Like it would be, and that's what I feel this game is. I think you've nailed it. This is Bill Belichick with his back against the wall. This is, he has to use everything he has in this game. And we'll talk about it shortly, but I too am very excited. My next one, I mean, well, obviously Seahawks Eagles, but I actually, think probably Viking Saints is going to be a really good game. Yeah. I would put that at number two.
Yeah, I'm super interested in that game. I think that it's a fairly evenly matched game. It'll be interesting. And then they have that revenge history with them facing each other in the playoffs.
True.
And that should be an added bit of intrigue. And then it's Eagles.
Seahawks
for me.
Because you get Russell Wilson. Yeah,
you get Russell. And I mean, the Eagles have, even though they don't have very many stars, they've been kind of fun to watch and seeing.
Feisty.
Yeah, seeing that, Seahawks offensive line against the Eagles defensive line is going to be interesting.
Just found out Dwayne Brown might play.
Got it.
That would make a big difference.
It's a big might. Sounds like hope.
We'll
hope
talk.
Words.
Let's, I'm doing too much foreshadowing. Let's talk about Patriots Titans first because I feel we have a lot of energy for this game. Let's start with the Patriots because obviously New England just got upset by the Miami Dolphins. So I want to start on the defense because that was the more surprising aspect. I mean, this Patriots defense has been trash all year, intermittently.
Patriots,
okay.
What?
Oh, pardon me, offense.
Yeah.
I did not see this coming for the defense.
No.
In particular, I did not see this coming from Stephon Gilmore. And you know what it made me realize, and I think I'll start here, is how much of this Patriots defense hinges on Stephon Gilmore being utterly dominant, right? I am Bill Barnwell. By the way, check out ESPN Daily today. We have a new episode with myself and Bill Barnwell that I recorded after the game, so I sound like I've just smoked 3,000 cigarettes. but in any case, we talk about the playoff field. And Barnwell made a really great point. He did a like picking the awards column, you know, like offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. And he mentioned, you know, Gilmore was the runaway favorite for defensive player of the year. Gotta wonder if that's dented after this game, even unfairly. I'm just saying, things are narrative awards. And he pointed out that historically what Belichick's always done is put the best wide receiver on your number two and then bracket your, put two guys on your best, pardon me, put your best corner on their second best wide receiver. But this year, he's actually had Gilmore on the best receiver, and it's allowed the Patriots to play a ton of cover zero, blitz a lot. They don't have a very talented front seven. All of that potentially falls apart when Stephon Gilmore is beatable.
Yeah, I mean, it's one game. Corner is really hard. And for somebody to lock people down all year long, and I mean, he gave up some big plays here or there, but he was awesome all year long, is asking a lot. So I don't know that I'm ready to be out on Stephon Gilmore, but I understand Bill's point, and that's true for the most part, but he's also had his top corners follow people on occasions. He mixes it up, but I think the idea is you want to take that guy out. And sometimes you have to compromise your defense to do that. If you can take out the other team's best receiver and not compromise your defense, the flexibility that it gives you to do, because you know, we always say that cliche that everyone knows, Bill Belichick's going to take away the best thing you do. He normally does that through some sort of scheme, which requires you to rob Peter to pay Paul. You might have to send one less rusher or take the safety out of middle field to add an extra defender to do something unique to take away the run game or tight end or receiver. If Stephon Gilmore can do that by himself, then he can put together some sort of scheme to take away the second thing that you do well. And then you're down to the third thing that you do best. But if you can't, the whole structure kind of collapsed.
In this game in particular, the Titans they do two things really, really well.
Yeah.
One is they throw the ball to A.J. Brown, and the other is Derrick Henry destroys fools.
Right.
So you would think if Stephon Gilmore could shut down A.J. Brown, that would make their life a lot easier. Because I do think if the Patriots have a weakness, the defense, which has been very, very good all season until, they're better against the pass than the run.
Yep.
And, you know, guys can get outside against them. You've seen that a lot. They're a little bit worse in zone than they are in man. It's mostly because they're so good in man.
Yeah.
They're not the best against play action. Linebackers, I think, can get tricked. But if you can take out A.J. Brown, you can win this game. We're just talking about this side of the ball, which I think is the strength versus strength matchup is right. How crazy is that? I wish I could go back in time and tell myself that we were talking about, like, the Titans offense being this, like, buzzsaw coming in. By the way, Ryan Tannehill, let's see. So we like the stat, completion percentage of above expectation from Next Gen Stats. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The season is over, and yes, I can report that Ryan Tannehill, the god, did finish atop the entire NFL in that stat, amongst many other stats. So I think that's key. The other side is interesting because I think, you know, we just talked about the Patriots' offense being awful. Brady can't throw down, like, plus that 10 yards or so. The run game actually was pretty good in this matchup. But unfortunately, the Titans' run defense is a lot better than their pass defense. So it's not advantageous to New England.
Yeah, I think that – so before we get onto the Titans' run defense versus the pass defense, I did want to point out that one of the other weaknesses of Patriots' defense is pass-catching backs.
Yes.
Like, those linebackers
are – been Rikas for a long time, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, and those linebackers – would struggle in coverage. That hasn't been. I mean, I know they have Deion Lewis, but that hasn't been the Titans game necessarily.
True.
So, I mean, it's not a complete, I guess, mismatch is the only point that I'm trying to make. But their ability to run the ball is a problem. And if the Patriots have to commit another safety to the box to run the ball, and they also, and Stephon Gilmore cannot take out A.J. Brown, they're completely stuck.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. And made me forget about the second thing that you said, so I can't respond to that.
Oh, I just flipped to the other side of the ball.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, the Titans defense, which I just looked up, they're sixth in DVOA against the run, 20th versus the pass. Not a super explosive pass rush, right. So it checks out.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I guess so the Patriots should... Yeah.
I mean, they can't throw it.
Yeah, that's the tough thing is, like, is their defense so bad against the pass that suddenly they didn't make the Patriots good?
There's going to be so much deception.
Yeah.
And the Patriots off. But Josh Daniels is going to literally pull out every trick in his bag in this
game. So many trick plays. I hope they don't bring back that one where they tried to throw it to Brady. That was atrocious.
That was rough.
Yeah, but there are going to be so many trick plays in this game from them and just – like, just general deception. It's going to be play action. It's going to be – I know Rex Ryan said on Get Up this morning that he thinks they should bring in an extra offensive lineman and just pound the ball. And, like, take out the tight end or take out the fullback and put in an offensive lineman and just pound it. Slow the game down, and the Pats should just pound it out.
You were literally just saying that because you know you wanted to see the look on my face and see how upset I would get.
Establish the run, Mina.
You –
Rex Ryan.
You just pound it. You said like five times. You could just see me slowly seething at the concept. I mean, yeah.
Two-time head coach in the NFL. Just pound it, baby. I actually don't disagree with him. What else are they going to do?
I don't disagree.
Play action.
No, yeah. I'm not saying that they
trick plays, listen, triple reverse.
No, well, you know, I think what they've done with some success over the last couple of weeks is they've been able to actually pass it a bit out of heavier sets. Obviously, they don't have – this would be a great game to have Rob Gronkowski. But, you know, you got Landon Roberts, right. Converted linebacker fullback.
There you go, 52 in the flat.
Getting the ball. I've been saying this in Harry's hands in interesting ways. It's a tough road. Yeah. Brady always puts together – even in this game, by the way, in the Miami, he had like one really good drive. Like, he can still put together one or two good drives every game.
The tough thing for me is like all – like, strategy is built around one key component. So, like, defensive strategy, offensive strategy, whatever strategy, it's built around one key component, whether it's a particular player, it's a particular play, it's a particular scheme. Mm-hmm. You do that, you get good at it, you make them adjust to it, that should open up other things. What is the thing that the Patriots are going to do? Like, what are they going to do to set up like that? Like, even other teams in the playoffs, I feel like all the teams in the playoffs, I can point to them, like, their offense and say, but they do this well.
Yeah.
You know, like, even Russell Wilson and the Seahawks who, like, Russell, they improvise. Russell does his thing. Like, he does that enough to the point where I'm like, that's a thing that you can hang your hat on. And they run the ball a lot. I don't know. I mean,
like,
I guess the Eagles.
Do the Patriots have any offensive strengths? Yeah. I mean, it would be coaching.
Yeah.
That's why I think we've settled on this broad concept.
I don't know what more we can say about it because we don't know
it's
what
really,
we're going
to
see.
It's hard. It's hard to make a case for them. Yeah, it really is. And yet, I'm not.
That's it. Everyone's just like, but they're the Patriots.
Well, I don't like that because it's not that, oh, they're the Patriots. It's, oh, that their coach is Bill Belichick. And coaching does matter.
Yeah, it matters.
Especially in the postseason, I believe.
It absolutely matters. I played against Bill Belichick. I think I tweeted about this one point, and you retweeted it a while back. But when I was in Denver, we were having a lot of success, essentially zero blitzing almost every down. And we would play zero coverage behind, and we max blitz, and it was eviscerating everybody. We got to the playoffs. We ended up beating the Patriots, but the scheme that they put together was what the Steelers took and beat us the following week. And it was just like it was one of the smarter things that I'd seen. And we had played 16 weeks doing the same thing where we were all out blitzing, and Bill Belichick and the Patriots decided to take the slot receiver and put him in motion. And whoever was covering him would have to run with him, and then that receiver would block the end man on line of scrimmage. So he ended up getting a 2-for-1, and then you would have time to run more complicated routes. And we'd played everybody all year, 16 weeks. No one figured it out. And we played Bill Belichick. Well, I mean, including Bill Belichick. We played them and beat them in the regular season. Then we played him in the playoffs, and he broke that out. We ended up beating them somehow, but then the following week in the championship game, the Steelers did the same thing and cooked us.
The Patriots haven't played the Titans this season, right?
I don't remember, honestly.
I just pulled it up. Also, like, it looks like no. Okay. That would make me more inclined to pick the Patriots.
Really?
This is a tough one.
You don't buy into the Patriots disciples having some sort of advantage?
No, I don't. I want to talk Seahawks-Eagles next, which I think is an equally difficult game to pick for. Like, these two games. Bills-Texans, you can also really go either way. I'd say all of these games are pretty.
Yeah, there's not one game that I feel super confident about who I know is going to win.
Of course, we're going to get like 3 blowouts.
We don't know who the blowout's going to be.
Yeah, true. Seahawks-Eagles is a good game. Tell me if you disagree with this statement. Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the NFC in the playoffs. The Seahawks are the worst team in the NFC in the playoffs. We're just talking NFC.
Yeah. I agree with that statement. I guess Drew Brees would be the only competition.
We'll get to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Russell Wilson is better than Drew Brees at this point in his career. I think you're right. And I think that what surrounds Russell, well, I guess the Eagles situation.
Yeah, well, okay, so that's the story of this game.
Yeah, their O-line and D-line, I think, are better, at least when healthy, than the Eagles. But, like, I think the Seahawks skill players on offense are obviously better than.
And Tyler Lockett miraculously is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there, and we don't have to talk about it. So, by the way, it was just Ian Rappaport just reported Brandon Brooks, who dislocated his shoulder, is out for the playoffs. That's bad. That's their starting guard. I imagine Miles Sanders will play, but not great ankle, you know, to get hurt like that. The Seahawks, meanwhile, I actually think we'll have some reinforcements coming in for this game. Quandre Diggs, who's been like really the linchpin of the defense, should play. He was kind of questionable. Dwayne Brown, starting left tackle, had surgery. There's talk that he might play as well. So they are getting guys back. The Eagles continue to shed. I think the Eagles might get a couple guys. Let me see, like Lane Johnson. There's a couple guys there as well. It's rough out there in Philadelphia.
I mean, they have it home. That's nice. I mean, I do find it interesting that, like, the option for the Seahawks was go to the Eagles or host the Vikings.
Yeah, I didn't really care. Like, saw me. So Dominique and I watched the game last night. Dominique has seen me in high leverage situations. Like, did I seem, I didn't, I, no. yeah, I was pretty chill. I mean, once the bye was out, if a bye was at stake, I think I would have lost my mind, but.
Well, I mean, chill for you. Yeah. You were chill for you. I think most people would experience that game. And we weren't at a sports bar. We were at like a quiet bar. And you were going what most people would consider crazy, but I've seen you in higher leverage situations. And I was looking around like, she's subdued. Oh, and you made friends too? There was like, who's that other guy that came over? A random Seahawks fan.
Some guy. He wasn't a Seahawks fan. He just
had a Seahawks coat on?
No, he was just watching football.
He had a Seahawks coat on?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Did too.
Did not.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's talk about this game. So I think I hate the phrase getting hot at the right time, but I think both of these quarterbacks kind of are.
Well, Russell's been hot all year.
No, dude, he has.
Well, I mean, beginning
like three,
of the year,
yeah.
He was hot. Then he had a lull.
He had a stretch. I mean, you could see, like, in the second half of this game, he was having fun.
Yeah.
And how do I explain this with Wilson? I think Brian Schottenheimer has not been as bad as people think. I put a lot more of the blame on Pete Carroll.
Okay.
Because in this game, like, you know, there are situational errors. I mean, obviously the delay game thing, I think had a lot to do with the personnel and Marchand and such. But for the most part, like the first half, a lot of the plays Brian was calling were the right ones. He was booting him out, quick passes, screens. Like those are the things you're supposed to do against the San Francisco 49ers defense. They're just significantly more talented than Seattle, especially the Lions. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson just put the team on his back and was like, all right, F it, I'm just going to make this happen.
What's new?
And I kind of feel like he just has to do that in every game. There's not really, I mean,
he has done it in every game that they won this year. Like, he has done it.
There's been games where I think the play calling has been bad, you know, good and against bad teams.
Okay, well, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to argue
more
with
of a talent.
You
I just
about
think
what.
If they're at a talent disadvantage, he just has to. Yeah. They were going up tempo, which obviously they can't do all game, but.
Right. No, I mean, I think you're right. I think that is the strategy, offensive strategy is.
Let Russ cook.
Yeah. And I think that's a great plan. Like, don't overburden them. Give them simple plays. I noticed that it seemed like they were running the same, like, slot out on any, like, important down. Like, it was simple.
It was working.
And my assumption is they were running simple stuff all over. And if it's not open, then Russell cooks. Like, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine. Like, shorten the game to help your defense and let Russ cook.
So, I say this to set up the Eagles, which I actually think that the opposite has been true.
Yeah.
This offense, in my opinion, has figured it out by stopping Carson Wentz from putting the team on his back and cooking and playing hero ball and turning it over. Like, he is taking checkdowns now. they are screening teams to death. And I think he's played really, really well. I mean, granted, obviously, the Giants defense is really bad, but there were throws he was making that were really good. But he has been playing in the confines of the offense, the Eagles offense, which I also think they've had to figure out a lot of things because they've been at such a talent disadvantage, right? But Wentz has sort of tampered down his heroism.
Yeah, no, I think that Roethlisberger was like the Wentz comparable for his early career. When I saw Wentz play a lot, I was like, they're not running anything too complicated. He's holding onto the ball forever. He has some athleticism.
Big.
He's big. And that's all, those are the only similarities that they have. It stops right there.
Yep,
and then
100%.
Yeah. And then it seems like he's added, just a dash of Kirk Cousins to his game and taken out that other stuff. And you're right. And he does, like, it's not that he's taking the hero ball out altogether. It's that he's more judicious with when he uses it. Because he threw a couple passes that I was like, you shouldn't even try that. And he completed them. But I think that he's capable of doing that when he doesn't try to do it that often. And I think it's terrible. Not terrible, but it's hard when you hold onto the ball to try to create plays. Russell can do it. Not everybody can do it. Like, those are sack fumbles. Those are issues. So go ahead and make that decision. Check it down. Be safe.
So the Eagles defense is better than the Seahawks defense.
Fact.
I think the Seahawks offense is better than the Eagles offense.
Fact.
I do think Seattle's defense will be better because of the guys coming back. I mean, Shaquille Griffin, this was his first game back. He was really bad in this game, the Niners game,
right?
The corner. And he's great all season, so I think he's kind of getting healthy.
Do you think that home field advantage matters?
So normally for Seattle, I would say yes, but they've actually
been better on the road this year.
So I didn't really – I think it matters if it's terrible weather because Wilson plays bad in bad weather.
And, like, the West Coast to East Coast travel is not a concern or anything like that.
I
mean, I guess the only reason why I asked that is because I feel like we're trying our best to analyze this game when in actuality it's going to come down to some bounces because these teams are pretty, like, evenly matched and we're not going to be able to predict who's going to have the, like, iffy penalty or who's going to fumble or whose fumble is going to bounce in the other team's hands. Like, it's going to come down to one of those type of situations. And I really don't have a good feel on it, because it always happens in the playoffs, like the double doink. Like the reason why the Eagles advanced last year was because of some fluky stuff that we can't predict.
Bounces and injuries, I think, because there's a lot of guys on the cusp, and that could end up being the difference in this game. All right, cool. I don't have a good feel for a game. That's great analysis from my guest, Dominique Foxworth. Going to take a few questions, but first I want to tell you guys about Calm. They say it takes 2 months to form a habit, and if you're making a resolution this year, that can feel like a long time to wait to see results. With Calm, all it takes is 5 minutes a day to feel better, calmer, and ready to face whatever this year throws at you. Calm is the number one app for sleep, relaxation, and meditation. Calm has sleep stories, which are like bedtime stories for adults. I just listen to Dominique Foxworth when I want to fall asleep. They can help you fall into a deep, natural sleep in minutes.
At first, it was a compliment. Then I realized it was an insult.
It could go either way. And stories are narrated by iconic voices, not Dominique, although you'd be good at it. But like LeVar Burton and Nick Offerman.
I love that.
They also have soothing music from artists like Sam Smith, guided meditations, breathing exercises, and so much more to keep you to help you relax and de-stress. If you go to calm.com/Mina, you get a limited-time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, great deal, which includes hundreds of hours of programming. Over 60 million people use Calm. Join them today to accomplish your goals tomorrow. For listeners of this show, Calm is offering a special limited-time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/Mina. That's 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library, and new content is added every week. Get started today at calm.com/Mina. That's calm.com/Mina.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
As always, and let's add a little bit of personal note to this, I guess, because coming to the end of the year, I really appreciate the reviews you guys leave in iTunes. Some of them are really nice and tell me stories about how you like the show and how you engage with it. And I honestly, it's just really flattering. It makes me feel good. Chris's crew asks, Mina, you're great when you don't worry about time. Unfortunately, we do have a hard out today. How much longer does Aaron Rodgers, have to be the boat, the best of all time? As a Packers fan, please say 10 years. Dominique?
Oh, is boat a thing now?
You know, I used to see with Blake Bortles, the boat, as like kind of a joke thing.
I didn't know boat was a thing. I'm good with goat, but okay. Well, I think that time has already passed, hasn't it? I mean, how long does he have to be the greatest of all time? If you're greatest of all time, you're greatest of all time ever. But I assume he means like the best in the league.
Like now, yeah.
Yeah, I think that time has already passed.
That's a rough.
If you're picking a quarterback in this league right now, I don't think that he's the first one you pick.
Do you think he has enough for the postseason?
Yeah. I think he has.
They got that freaking bye.
Yeah, that's huge. Barely.
Huge.
Barely. He struggled against the worst pass defense in the league.
Suboptimal.
But I think that is the same thing. So, like, I got a lot of heat from Packers fans because I pointed out things that were facts that he, and this was several weeks ago, and I've been expecting him to go off since then, and he hasn't. But, like, he has struggled. Like, that's a true thing, and that's fine. But he also can make incredible throws. And the thing that makes me feel encouraged, because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season started, is that the team around him is not perfect, but they're better. Playing pretty well, and the offensive line's been great. The run game's been good. The defense has created turnovers, though they haven't been like lights out.
Yeah,
they've created turnovers, and that's how you win with an aging quarterback. Is you do that, you only ask him to be great for a fraction of the time, and you don't ask him to carry you. And when you have a bye, you just have to do it for 2 weeks, and then you're in the Super Bowl, and you have a bye before that game. Like I absolutely think Aaron Rodgers could do it.
Great question. Here from DJ Blocker 5. Again, likes the longer podcasts. People really like the longer.
That's nice.
It is nice. What would Lenny's bachelor strategy be to get the rose? Great question. Dominique can't really field this one. The Bachelor starts soon. Very excited about
Can't
that.
Wait.
Cannot wait. The Bachelor is a Seahawks fan, and I don't really love this. He has a 12 tattoo on his hand.
Oh, just like someone I know.
I don't have a 12 tattoo.
Well, I mean, yours is classier. I'm sorry.
Very different.
Yeah, you have
very different
Roman numerals.
Hold on.
You're above getting a 12 tattoo?
Yeah, I don't do the 12 stuff. You know that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you didn't do the 12 stuff. I'm sorry.
It's like on a dating profile. I don't do 12 stuff. Lenny is really good at endearing himself to people. not in the first 5 minutes of meeting them, but after that, it's a lot of, you know, snuggling and face licking and such.
Oh, it's fast. First 5 minutes, he's already face licking.
I know.
It's aggressive, Lenny.
I know. So I think he would probably go just really aggressive and see, you know, let the chips fall where they may. Eagles, the guy's name is Eagles or Gal. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles is what it is. This is a great question, actually. Why doesn't special teams performance affect how analysts rate teams? He points out the 2010 Chargers had the number one offense, the number one defense, a great turnover differential, but they didn't make the playoffs because their special teams caused too many losses. So I think the Chargers are unique, uniquely cursed. So
yeah. I think so it's because it's such a small as far as number of plays in the game, and it's so rare that those plays are impactful. I think that special teams is hugely important. You need a good kicker. You need good punt coverage and that sort of stuff. Like, field position matters. But I think that's why. It's like, when you're breaking down a game, it's hard for you to anticipate that that's going to be the difference. Like, some of that stuff is – obviously, better teams give you a better chance. But I'm sure there have been lots of great special teams that stunk elsewhere. The game is more likely to be decided – by the offense and defense, I guess, would be.
I think it's right. Yeah,
my best.
I also think it works in conjunction a lot with coaching.
Yeah,
I feel like some coaches are like unaware of their, or they, you know, like coaches who are too quick to kick field goals, right, or that as well. And also, you can evaluate special teams independent of defense and
right
drive position, but
it impacts your defense.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
And your offense.
Which is, to go back to the original question, probably something we don't account for enough.
Yeah.
When we evaluate offenses and defenses.
Right.
I wonder, who do you think, by the way, while we're here, who do you think is the best special teams, according to Football Outsiders, don't look, in the NFL right now?
I mean, I would have normally said the Patriots, but their field goal kicking has been bad. They did have a few blocked punts. Ravens. They got Justin. And they got Cook.
Punter's good.
Yeah, Sam Cook, the punter.
Wow, Ravens aren't even top.
Really?
Yeah, they're 16th.
Oh.
I mean, this is returns. I don't. It's hard to know off the top of our head.
Kind of
okay, so this is fascinating, and I think probably addresses the question, because it's like, is special teams important? Well, the number one special team in the NFL is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh.
Number two, the New York Jets.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah.
Then you got the Saints. So.
That's an icing thing. That's like. Yeah. You can't be good in the league if all you have is special teams, but it can make the difference, which I guess means that it should be more relevant in the playoffs, assuming that all the teams in the playoffs are like comparable. Special teams can put you over the top.
Absolutely. Last question I'll take from JHwick01. If you could add any player to the Seahawks without consequence of pay in the NFL, who would you choose? It would be a left tackle, right?
No. I mean, Russell is good
without
any player.
Sorry, pardon me. Without consequence of pay, Aaron Donald.
Yeah. That would be a defensive
player. Be Aaron Donald.
Yeah. I think that's smart.
You're right. Okay, cool. Let's do Texans Bills.
All right. Strength on strength.
Well, you know, let's talk strength on strength first. Let's talk about the Bills offense, and then, no, just kidding. it's weird that I'm being like, oh, Texas Bills, because I've said many times in this podcast, I like this Bills team a lot. I like how they're built. I like their defense. I'm always pumping their secondary. And on the flip side, I love this Texans offense has extremely high highs, extremely low lows, but their high highs, they have the potential to be the most exciting offense in the NFL. And yet, I don't feel like they will in this game. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the winner of this game is going to be determined by the Texans, like who shows up for the Texans.
We know what we're going to get from the Bills.
We're going to get the Bills. The Bills are going to play
great defense.
Defense, and it's going to come down to whether Josh Allen can make a couple plays here or there towards the end of the game. They won't put it completely on his shoulders. It might be on his legs or something like that, but they're not going to ask him to be great. They're just going to ask him to be good. And they've been a steady team all year. So I think that's what they're going to be. I believe that the Texans, if Deshaun Watson and that offense is clicking, they will, I don't want to go that far because that discounts the Buffalo's defense.
Well, so
I think the Texans at their best. So what do you think? Texans at their best offensively against Bills at their best defensively. What do you think?
I'm trying to find out if Will Fuller's playing.
Yeah, that matters.
I think that's it.
I'm assuming that he's playing, I guess.
I feel like I mentioned him last week in the podcast.
Yeah,
too.
I heard you.
I was going to say something. I think it was Kevin Cole at PFF who tweeted Deshaun Watson's EPA stats, his splits with and without Will Fuller. They are wild.
Yeah.
Like, I've been saying for some time now that he's the Jenga piece,
right,
and
yeah.
Ridley, even though like Hopkins is the better player. Oh, here they are. Okay. This is going to blow your mind. And there's a pretty big sample size for both. When they're on, 78.2 expected points added. When he's off, -4.3. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That is nuts. That was my mind blowing, by the way.
That is
outrageous.
Oof.
And I mean, he's a deep threat, and like that's the logic behind it. Is like the threat of the deep Ooh. Pass unlocks everything.
I want to ask you about that. Do you think deep threats are underrated in today's NFL? Because like we saw what happened to the Eagles, how like nobody would have thought losing DeSean Jackson would murder the. I mean, they figured it out, but
well, I don't. I mean, I can't speak for other people, but as a cornerback. Hell no, they're not underrated. Deep threats, like that's all I care about. Like I wake up in cold sweats.
I was gonna say, do you get uncomfortable watching the Chiefs?
Yes,
thinking about how
I knew I've been. Oh my god, that's stressing me out. And then they went. No, just watching Tyreek Hill last season was one thing. Then they went and got Mecole Hardman, McCole, however you pronounce it.
Imagine being a defensive back going into that game. What a nightmare.
Being a coach. Like, you can't double them both, and both of them going to run past any of your corners.
So true.
Like, I don't care, Stephon Gilmore. I know you're good, but you can't do that all game. And then on top of it, the toughest thing, when people ask me, like, you played NFL, who is the toughest receiver, the guard? Like, they're all very tough. I didn't like the shifty, quick guys or fast guys, but really the difference maker was the quarterback. Like, if you were playing against a good quarterback, all receivers were a terror. And they have, I don't know if you know this, Mina. But
who do they have?
The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. Mm. Pretty good quarterback.
How do they lose games? All right. Unfortunately, we're not talking about the Chiefs today. We're talking about the Bills and the Texans. The Bills.
They got a deep threat. John Brown.
I like John Brown a lot.
Yeah. He's
by the way, he toasted Stephon Gilmore. Yeah. We should have seen this Stephon Gilmore bad performance coming. John Brown. I've been doing this like every Bills game. It's kind of a bit. But John Brown is always open.
Yeah.
He's always open. He's always open. Great. I love that wide receiver grouping. And I don't like this Texans defense. Although they might get JJ Watt for this game, but who knows and you know what. But still, even his presence on the field does tilt a little bit.
It does something. I mean, I don't
know.
It depends how good he is. I guess if you put him on the field, they'll account for him, which helps you in some way until they realize that he's not who he used to be or he's not healthy or whatever. But maybe he is healthy.
This game's going to be so ugly.
It is going to be an ugly game. Maybe Deshaun might have one of those games where he just goes off and scores a bunch of points and makes it pretty.
The Bills,
they got jumped on in the playoffs last year by the Colts.
Yes.
Like a surprise.
By the way, they sat a bunch of guys because they were playing the Jets and they already had the seed locked up, but they still got a bunch of injuries, which people might have missed on Sunday. Levi Wallace, the corner, hurt his ankle. He was carted. Taron Johnson got hurt. I think he'll be okay. I'm not 100% sure. That could be totally wrong, actually.
I mean, I know the Levi Johnson one is true. Levi Wallace one is true. That one had me concerned considering that what they're going to be taking on.
That's meaningful depth. Yeah. I mean, again, if Fuller's in, that could get ugly. So who you got in this game?
It's in Houston, right?
Which I think, I think that's obviously good for the Texans, but I think.
Yeah. I mean, Deshaun's comfortable in Houston, obviously. It's where he plays.
Also, nobody wants to be playing Buffalo right now.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think either team is upset about that. Deshaun turns the ball over too. Oh.
I know. The Bills. This defense is good.
It's another one where I'm going to say I don't know. If I had to pick one, Fudge Rooney, I guess I'd go with stability over volatility, which would be the Bills. But then I'm going Josh Allen over Deshaun Watson, which I don't like.
I really don't know.
This is two games
we're
now.
Just really, I don't have a good feel for this game. Okay, you know, gun to my head.
I'll take the other one. Whatever you take, give me the other.
I'll take the Bills, too. All right. I lean Bills because the defense is better. I think they're a better coach team.
Yeah.
Throw that out there. We haven't talked about that at all.
I like that.
Yeah.
Coaching matters.
Great coaching. By the way, all these coaching hires and all that are being thrown around. Brian Daboll should be a candidate. We talked about that last week, but yeah, he's crushed it.
I was trying to think of a pun for the name Daboll because I'm on your show and I feel like wordplay is essential, but I couldn't come up with anything.
I didn't either. It's okay.
But you always do.
I got nothing. Well, you said they were stable, Daboll. Yeah, maybe there's something there.
There is. I was thinking more table.
He's a Daboll genius. Yeah. Like stable genius.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Oh, we're going to get fired.
Yep. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, let's get to the final game. The one I think that most people have a pretty clear idea of who they're picking. Vikings-Saints. The Saints should not be playing this weekend, and yet they are. I think that they're the best team in the NFC, but not by a lot. Yeah. I think it's between them and the Niners. I think it's close. I think there are a few aspects that are overrated, though. Let's start on defense. Let's start on offense, actually.
I mean, we just spent a good amount of the show talking about the importance of a deep threat.
Yeah, they got Traquan Smith. He was actually decent. I mean, I think, what's his name, could end up being a weird X factor. Jared Cook.
Yeah.
He's really emerged. But yeah, there's no deep threat. I mean, I also didn't think Breeze was that great.
Right.
Like 17. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, I said, it's funny, we're talking about a deep threat. Michael Thomas is not a deep threat. Michael Thomas is not always open, but it seems to just not matter.
Yeah, he always catches the ball.
And I also think the Viking secondary is bad.
Yeah.
Or the cornerback. So, I think the offense is not going to have a ton of difficulty. Could be wrong.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. And the Saints defense is good, and the Vikings, Dalvin Cook may or may not be healthy. And
that's an issue.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins is dependent on play action, as are many quarterbacks in the league. I don't mean that as a slight on Kirk Cousins, but it makes it a lot more difficult. If the Saints can't be stopped and they score a lot of early points, then you're relying on Kirk Cousins. You've taken away his running back, and if they get behind by too much, you've taken away play action. I think that's how I see the game playing out. More likely than not is Sean Payton's good coach. They got talent advantages. Their first half will be offensively, will be productive. And the Vikings will take time to warm up, and it'll be too late.
Dun, dun, dun. I think they have good linebackers, too, which helps.
You're right.
Optimistic case for Minnesota. The Saints defense, and this is when I alluded to like kind of being overrated, they're banged up.
Yeah.
In this game, well, just over the last few weeks, they've lost guys all along the defensive line. You know, mentioned obviously Rankins, Davenport. I think Rankins he's out for the season, right? I forget. No, hold on. You look that up while I talk. Sheldon Rankins. Likely to end 2019. Oh, and he was placed on the season IR along with Davenport. So
nice.
There you go. Eli Apple and Marcus Williams Minneapolis
Miracle
fame, banged up. They got it. I guess that's why they signed Janoris Jenkins, who had the final of the pick or something in this game. Right? But there's a lot of holes. And look, Minnesota, they do have weapons, multiple weapons. So they have the firepower to take advantage of soft spots in the Saints secondary if any of those guys are hurt.
Yeah.
What time is this game? That's going to tell us who's going to win. What time is it? Is this the more afternoon one?
Yeah, it's...
Kirk's got a shot.
Oh, that's right. He's the primetime Owen whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You love Kirk. And I mean, I think he's good, too.
Do you see, the Packers game, I was going out to dinner with my family, and I saw, like, the first play. Kirk had, like, a great touchdown. I was like, Kirk Cousins is good. Now that I tweeted that, he's probably screwed.
Oh.
Literally turned off my phone, came back, and honestly, I was like, do I have too much power? Am I too? But I just knew it. I always say it about him on his podcast. You can find and go back every episode. I say he drives me crazy because the analytic, like, not even just the analytics, like, statistically, he's been good. You actually watched the games. He's been good. He was even good in the freaking Seahawks game that they lost. And yet, I know he's going to fail me.
Yeah.
I know he's going to make me look stupid.
Don't know how.
Yeah. I know it. That was my Minnesota voice.
That was perfect. I didn't know if you were doing that on purpose or not, but I was thoroughly going to make fun of it.
I wasn't.
You got a crazy accent.
I hear that.
Yeah, they, I hate doing that also because I don't like trying, because what you're essentially doing when you make that criticism is like you're calling to question like his mental fortitude or like some other like intangible that we can't measure. And I don't necessarily believe it's fair or that we know what we're talking about when we do that. Like, we're not psychologists. So like my estimation is the reason why particular guys can't win the big one isn't because they're scared or something. Like there's some other circumstance that causes it. But for Kurt, it's just so often that it's like, what is going on? I don't think that he's like nervous at primetime games or any more nervous than he normally is. I don't think he's like scared. I don't think he like gets tight necessarily. Just things don't work out for him when no one else is playing. He needs another game. Maybe they should go find two other teams and pay them to play a game at the same time because it'll take the pressure off.
What's the line in this? I want to know because, like, I think people are right to pick the Saints, but I'm not, like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a close game.
Did the Vikings tweet, "Nobody believes in us"? I tried to find the line, and that was the first thing that came up. Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know. That's not good.
I guess I can't complain about it because I've been in plenty of locker rooms that have said that, and it probably wasn't
Nobody
true,
believes in us.
But we believed it at the moment.
I would love a quarterback coach to come out and be like, I would love it if John Harbaugh said, yeah, you know, we're the best team. Everyone thinks so. They're right.
Everyone honestly, believes in us.
It's everybody believes in us. I mean, I know, like, Lamar, you can ride that 7.5. Ooh, I'll take that.
Oh, we're betting that as a gambling podcast?
No.
Let's do that. I'm with you. I'll put some on it.
I'm just saying. That seems generous.
To be fair, though, in the Ravens locker room when I was there with Harbaugh, like, he never pulled the nobody believes in us. He always went the opposite way. I mean, he wouldn't say it publicly, but he went the opposite way. Like, we're better than this team.
You should re-air your Harbaugh's great coach. Everyone should, like, you were dropping that take.
Oh, yeah.
Back in, like, 2017.
Yeah, back when they were trying to fire him. Like,
yeah, you were the CEO, that stuff.
Yeah,
did you write this down? Isn't this in print?
Yeah,
Can't you? When he wins Coach of the Year, you
I
could
run
yeah,
it back.
Yeah,
right.
Right, yeah.
I might. Maybe.
You know what?
Who knows?
I'll do it for you.
Oh, well, your reach is great. You're going to retweet some stuff for me?
No, I'm just going to say Dominique was right.
Dominique was right. Appreciate it.
All right, let's wrap up with some quick questions.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
Question number one. Dominique, let's talk about the coaching firings. Who is one crazy outside the box coach that you would hire if you were running an NFL team? Someone who's not on the list right now being circulated.
Ah, man, crazy outside the box coach.
It's a tough question.
Yeah, it is a tough question because I'm not aware of a ton of crazy outside the box coaches, but you know how I feel about coaching. And I don't believe that the head coach has to be a football person, like a football mind.
Right. This is the Condoleezza thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, real thing that happened. Like,
yeah, she got interviewed. Yeah, like, that was wild. But I still believe
that. She would have been better than Freddie.
Yeah. She would have been better than Freddie. But I believe that to be the case. So that would be the crazy place I would go. Like the Jason Witten thing, like that's not something that would be original to me. So I'm not going to say it. And I also don't think he would succeed, but I do think fundamentally the logic behind you are a good coordinator. So you're going to be a head coach is flawed because the job of being a coordinator is not the same as the job of being a head coach. So the idea that being a coordinator is somehow the pipeline or the stepping stone or the preparation for head coach, I do think is flawed. So I don't know different teams' interview processes, but like you need to get to their emotional intelligence, their interpersonal skills, and how important they think that stuff is. I think that is what separates good teams and good cultures from bad teams and bad cultures. And even bad teams can have enough talent to like have a rise up, have a good year. Mm. But consistent success is about building a culture, which is about building relationships.
Yeah. I mean, I think you want both ideally, right? Because, you know, like you mentioned on, I heard you saying on Get Up Today, I wasn't allowed at the table at that point, but no big deal. I'm not bitter. No, you had more table time than this. Okay. I wasn't counting.
You were at the top of the show.
Oh, big deal.
I was on the bench at the top of the show. I started the game.
I was on the kids'
table. And you finished the game.
Sitting on the kids' table for all the big football time. It's okay. I'm not, you know. Anyways, you made the point about how McVay, like, the thing people underestimated was that he had the soft skills, the leadership skills, right, the people skills or whatever. But also, you know, he was a great coordinator or play caller, yeah, you know. And I think, or like a Shanahan, right? I think it's obviously a value add to have a coach who is a specialist on one side of the ball, but also a coach with the humility to defer where he doesn't know. Right. I think humility is the most underestimated thing. And Harbaugh being Exhibit A in all of this. Humility, emotional intelligence, willingness to change your mind. By the way, that's why I like Dable. I talked about him on the podcast two weeks ago, I don't know, whatever. But what I said was, what really has impressed me about him is he ran the wrong offense for Josh Allen his rookie season. Like, Josh Allen could not, they were trying to make him into a pocket passer that he wasn't. And after that season, I was like, this is not going to be good. Because you very rarely see an offensive coordinator change his scheme with the same quarterback, right, not with a new quarterback coming in. And he completely, he made a ton of changes years one, and that's just very rare. And to me, signals at sort of a flexibility that is really key. So I know this is you love the topic. So
no, I do love the topic. We can go on, but this is supposed to be a quick question, so I'll just let you move on.
Question two, what's your New Year's resolution?
I don't know. Continue to be dope.
It's not an actual resolution.
I resolve to maintain my current level of dopeness. I don't want to get any doper or any less dope.
What's something that you would like to be better at, like, in our profession? I have a lot of things like this, so.
I think that I actually mentioned this to you in a text a couple of days ago. I think I need to like rebuild my like connections around the league because I'm old now and so few of my relationships are players that are still in the league. I have a few relationships, but I think it's important to, if you're going to be offering opinions, which I do, it was easier to do when I was closer to the league. Now as I get further away from the league, and when I look around the industry at people who have been doing this, former players who have been doing this for a long time, it's clear to me the guys who have not stayed close enough to the game. And they sound absurd. And I think that that's the thing that I fear for me going forward, is that like I could get too far from the game where it's like,
good point.
Hypothetically speaking, a cover three could take place and there could be several replays of the cover three. And I could think like, hey, this is cover one when obviously it's cover three or some other sort of scheme or something. Mm. I'm not talking about anybody specifically.
Kind of sounds like
just
you are.
Generally, that could be something that could happen if I was doing a nationally televised game at some point.
That's a good answer.
Thank you. What about you?
It's my question. It's not yours.
Okay.
Question three. Do you like New Year's Eve? It's a divisive holiday.
Yeah.
Changes with your age a lot. And you have kids.
Yeah. I had one awesome New Year's Eve. So like in college, all three of my first three seasons, we were like traveling for bowl games. So I never had like an exciting New Year's Eve. High school, like I didn't really do much. And my senior year, I was prepping for the combine, so my New Year's Eve was in some tiny hotel somewhere, working out, getting ready for the combine. My rookie year in the league, I had a pretty awesome New Year's Eve, and then I started dating the woman that became my wife, so like I spent most of my New Year's Eve having dinners, chill dinners and whatever, and chilling out. So I never really had a wild New Year's Eve. You want me to tell you this New Year's Eve story from my rookie year? No? Okay. You're right. I'll keep it to myself. It was nuts. Bananas.
Question four. If you could throw any team that didn't make it into the playoffs, like a berserker team. I saw somewhere, I think it was Chris Wessling called it a berserker.
Okay.
And I love that.
Yeah, that's good.
Word. Who would you choose?
Let me think. Well, Cowboys would make my job a lot easier because people care about them and it's easier to talk about them.
Still find a way to talk about them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Let's see. Eagles are in. The Falcons started playing well towards the end of the year. That would be an interesting team to throw. Oh no, Jameis!
Oh my God.
Give me Mo Jameis! Yes, Lord, give me Jameis!
Sorry if I've talked about this before. Have you seen that tweet from that guy, Jeff Eisenbrand is the name of the guy who tweeted it. It's a scene from The Office where some guy's trying to get Andy hired. Will Ferrell's character is trying to get Andy a job, and he's talking to the person who's interviewing. He's like, this could be the worst decision or the best decision. This could be the, like, and he's like, this is Jameis Winston's agent. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't even know how to talk about it at this point. Not from like a this is funny standpoint, because it's undeniably funny, but from a football standpoint, I'm kind of at a loss.
Yeah,
like, how do you even evaluate this?
We applaud John Harbaugh for winning in a different way. Is Bruce Arians going to try to win in a different way in the modern NFL?
How many games can you win when you turn the ball over that much? I think it also depends on the kind. Like, listen, if you have a quarterback who's good but turns it over in okay situations or arm punts, that's fine.
Yeah, that's not what he does. He gives touchdowns to the other
team. Picks.
Yeah, he gives.
It's so efficient. Like, you get the ball right back.
That is true. He is incredible. Like, to imagine how great his great has to be. I actually did this the other day. I was surprised. I looked at his QBR and took out all the interception plays because I was interested in this.
Yeah.
And I expected it to, like, his QBR to be off the charts.
Is it not?
It's not. I was surprised that.
Still good though, right?
Yeah, it's still good, but I thought he would be, if you put him in the league and you took everyone's interceptions out, I thought he would be, like, by far and away the best quarterback in the league. I don't remember the exact number, but I remember being disappointed because I was like, oh, I'm going to kill him with this one. But.
All right, last question as always is from Lenny. I don't really want to ask you this because you're going to be. I know I'm mad. But Lenny wants to know if you watched the Peach Bowl and you feel bad about shaming the Dolphins into not getting Joe Burrow.
No.
That's it?
I'm happy. I've been waiting for an opportunity to discuss this.
No, this is the end of the show. I don't want to.
I am waiting. You guys sit up, buckle up.
No.
Your listeners said they want a long show. I'm going to give them a long show.